Hallo und herzlich willkommen im Etablissement, dem Podcast aus der Schnatterzone der Damentoilette. Etablissement ist für die Dame, die gerade einfach keine Kapazitäten hat. Nach einer kleinen Pause zurück. Ich freue mich weiterhin über jeden, der die zuhört. Häufig führe ich hier ja an, dass amerikanisches Entertainment so anders ist, auch anders wahrgenommen wird als die Dinge, die hier bei uns produziert werden. Der Humor scheint mir anders, die Traditionen sind ganz andere. Natürlich der Verkaufsdruck ist auch ein anderer. Showbiz in Deutschland ist immer so ein bisschen krampfig, ein bisschen gewollt. Aber man versteht schon, was gemeint ist, aber so richtig den Nagel auf den Kopf trifft das Showbiz hier oft nicht. In dieser Episode wollte ich also ganz einfach mal die Frage stellen, liegt es daran, dass wir einfach zu deutsch sind? Kurz gesagt, sind wir selbst schuld? Ist Deutschland humorlos? Wo sind die gut geschriebenen Gags? Liegt es an uns? Und haben wir unser Showbiz vielleicht ganz einfach verdient? Deshalb habe ich Sarai Cole zum Gespräch gebeten. Sarai ist Opernsängerin aus Amerika und lebt schon seit einigen Jahren in Deutschland. Sie singt Wagner und Strauss. Mit Sarai will ich über ihren Opernwerdegang in Amerika sprechen und darüber, wie sie hier auf uns guckt. Auf unseren Stil, auf das Theater hier in Deutschland im Gegensatz zum amerikanischen Theater. Ganz einfach über the Deutsch sein of it all. Viel Spaß beim Gespräch mit Sarai Cole.
I'm from Los Angeles. That's where I was born and raised. And my sister, who is 7 years older than I am, was in the children's chorus for LA Opera. We would go see her in the different operas she was in. I think the first one was Le Nozze di Figaro, and then Rosenkav. And
Rosenkav?
Rosenkav.
That's so American.
Is it?
Yes.
Der Rosenkavalier.
Yes.
And my mom was always wanting to leave after my sister's part. And I was like, we have to stay. And I was like, these costumes and like, just like visually everything you see on stage. I was like, I have to do that. I have to be in this somehow, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you grow up in a household where like, there was a lot of like classical culture or arts? Tell me.
Absolutely not. No. My mom might kill me, but she is not a reader. You know, she doesn't really partake in any sort of cultured arts, as you put it.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
So this was also maybe her thing to visit the opera, but just for the, for her daughter.
Exactly.
Ah, okay. Yeah. Because I usually know in Germany how young people get in contact with theater. Mm-hmm. And I always wonder how it's maybe different in America.
Yeah.
Where it's more difficult to get in contact with arts.
It is. And I think really the way my sister and I were introduced is that we went to a private school. And the music teacher at the school was the children's chorus conductor at the LA Opera. So she was basically just pulling kids from our school to be in the opera. I was always too tall. They were like, not you.
Did you audition or did you get into the choir too? Or how did this
I was in a professional children's choir.
Okay.
Called LACC, Los Angeles Children's Choir. We had weekly rehearsals and 2 times a week theory classes. And I did that from the time I was like 7 till maybe 12 or 13. And then I was like, I don't want to do this anymore.
What did you do then? What did you want to do then?
I was like, I want to do music theater. And
you didn't want to be in the choir.
Yeah.
You had the, like no main more character.
Exactly. Energy. I was like, I need to not be in the background.
And how did you do that?
I went to performing arts high school.
And how did your voice develop? Were you always like a dramatic voice? Like a big voice?
Yeah, I always had a big voice at school. What did we do? We did A Mall and the Night Visitors, and I was the mother. And then we did Le Nozze di Figaro.
At 18 years old, you were the mother?
Like 16.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. And then we did Le Nozze di Figaro, and I did the Countess. We did, Die Zauberflöte. Mm-hmm. I was Queen of the Night. So I had a really, really high voice as a teenager. teenager, but always really dramatic.
And were you surrounded by a lot of other black girls studying opera?
There were a few of us. Yeah. Angel Blue. She and I went to the same high school. She's, I think, at the Met now. She was a few years older than I was. I think she graduated the year I got into high school. My undergraduate degree is in acting. Mm-hmm. And then I was able to get a master's degree in opera from Temple University. That was tricky, but I did it. And then I was kind of able to get into a young artist program, but really I just started doing concerts, any sort of concerts, any concerts that needed an opera singer, anyone who would come and, you know, have me sing for them.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was kind of the way I did it.
And what made you decide to come to Germany?
I don't know. How political do you get on your podcast?
Please.
The first Trump term, I was like, I need to get out of here.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I decided to take a German language class since I sing a lot of Wagner, and I was supposed to be here for a month, and then that was 8 years ago. Yeah.
And how do you feel it's different from the US? Like,
I was auditioning in New York, living in New Jersey, Philadelphia. So like really I was auditioning and singing like as far north as Boston and as far south as Washington, D.C., and it's like there's never enough jobs, there's never enough work, so you can't actually earn a living as a singer. So I had, at one point, I had four other jobs, so it was just constant, like nonstop grinding and hustling and working outside of music. So I was like an Uber driver. I worked at a grocery store. I worked as a personal assistant. I was teaching baby piano.
I remember the story where you told me like co-students of you were working as hookers.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Well, escorts.
Escorts.
Yes, I mean, escorts.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Word.
Yes. Yeah. There was a young artist program I did, and like when you worked it all out, it was like way less than minimum wage, but we're technically freelance or independent contractors, or is what they call it in the US. And so it was like, well, I'll go on a date with this guy and then I'll have dinner, or I'll go on a date with this guy and he'll buy me groceries. You know, there were definitely colleagues who were doing this.
Interesting.
I'd say it's a shame.
Yeah, it's a shame.
Like, if you can't pay your young artists and chorus enough to not need a third party to buy them groceries, then you don't have enough to do the thing you want to do.
And do you feel like this is different in Germany, or that the arts are taken more serious here? Or?
They're definitely taken more seriously. Like in the States, if I said, oh, I'm an opera singer, it's like, oh, can you actually earn a living doing that? Is that really a job? And here it's like, oh, okay. You know, not
people have an idea.
Yeah,
about.
Exactly. About what it is. And it's not like overly prestigious. It's just like another job that people have. But yeah, there's every expectation here that you're going to be paid for singing, for instance.
More or less.
Yeah, more or less. Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, in the States also, it's like, oh, well, this doesn't pay, but it's exposure. I've not had that experience here in Germany.
Okay, but that's a good thing.
Yeah.
Even
yes.
if the payment is not like always what it should be,
sure.
but the
it's,
general assumption is that art is
you.
Something that has some kind of like worth.
Yes, yeah, for sure.
I mean, do you think this makes another kind of art? Because my feeling was in America, like the culture and the like the style and how they direct operas, it's much lighter, more glamorous,
sure.
more like we have to sell it. And in Germany, it's very serious, very art.
I mean, that's the difference, right? In the US, like, you don't have the luxury of making art that, like, nourishes you or, like, makes people feel things. And it might, but what it has to be is profitable. You have to be profitable. And it's really hard to separate yourself in the US from the thing that you do. Here, it's like, I get to be a whole person. I have guitar lessons. I do painting, whatever. and also can earn money singing and be an artist and make art that I enjoy and moves me and I hope other people identify with as well. But in the US, it's like, you can do that, but you're going to starve. You know, it has to be marketable. It has to be profitable.
Yeah, but this also brings along some kind of like seriousness in German art. Mm-hmm. Whereas in America, you always have this like winking. We are serious, but are we?
But are we?
Yeah. This is a tragic story, but is it?
But is it? Yeah, because people have to want to come back.
Yes.
Yeah.
And in Germany, it's very...
It's very, I don't care if you come back. This is the art. Like it or don't.
But how do you feel about German opera then? And this German style, have you experienced it? Like the, maybe also in our productions we did together. Yeah. That it's just like...
Well, what I like about it is that it has integrity. It's like... You as an artist or writer or director have something to say and you say it. And I'm sure that like there's a political aspect to it that I'm not privy to, you know, of like, oh, if I say that, I won't get invited to this festival. But for the most part, in my experience, it's like you can say things with your art. Whereas in the US, it needs to be something that people enjoy and like and want to have and do. Because it has to be profitable and marketable, it also has to be typically as politically correct as you can make it, which I agree and disagree with on multiple levels. It also has to be inclusive. Here, there's a little less thought given to diversity, inclusion, and doing things that are politically correct,
whatever that means.
You know, I don't disagree or agree with it. I do have a problem with using certain people as props or supernumeraries when they're not also included as singers on stage, which is something I saw at Bayreuth. In a way that you just wouldn't do that in the US because it's way too easy to offend people there. Yeah.
What was it? What did Bayreuth do?
It was their production of Tannhäuser, and Venus had, she was like a sideshow. She was a woman over 40. So already like, oh, she's got a job in opera. That's insane. Then her two sidekicks, one was a little person and the other was a black drag queen. There were no other people with visible disabilities on stage and there were no other black people on stage. And so these were like, it was an interesting concept, but in a place that is so homogenous and lacks inclusion, was like a little tone deaf, in my opinion.
Yeah. Now that you are looking at the Germans a little bit like more like from the outside.
Yeah.
Do you think this culture or the way our theater is, it's like it's our own fault. It's like we are Germans and that's why our culture looks like this.
Yeah. Say more.
Because I mean, the Germans, we are not famous for being funny, for example.
Yeah. True.
And that shows in our art.
Yeah, it does.
Yes. And that's why we don't have a good Broadway style shows created in Germany, because there's something lacking in Germans. And I'm asking you, what is it? Tell me.
What is it? You know, while you do have a good system, it is one that prefers everything be in a box, labeled, fitting in its spot on the shelf. And so to make comedy, I think it has to be a little messier, a little more outside of the box. To make those kind of musicals that you like specifically, it's not neat. It doesn't fit in a place. And that's really hard in this system. You know, it doesn't fit in the opera-shaped box. It doesn't fit in the musical-shaped whole, like we can't do that. So it is a little closed-minded
a little
rigid, but Usually, my experience has been the first answer you're always going to get from Germans, regardless of what you're asking, is no. And then you have to talk to them about it and like lead them down the, you know, thought path and why is this a good idea and how it fits into their, you know, repertoire and whatever. And then sometimes it's still no, but sometimes it's like, okay, we'll think about it maybe.
But that's an equivalent to the American, like, it's always yes.
Yeah, yes, yeah.
With a strong possibility you will never hear from them again.
But likelihood, first, yeah.
It's a yes.
Yeah, yes, absolutely. I love that idea. Why don't we circle back around and, you know, iron out the details?
Never heard from
this. Yeah, exactly. Never to be seen again. Yes.
The first yes is very quick.
Yeah.
In America.
Yes.
Or the being like enthusiastic about something.
That's correct. Yeah. But getting to the real yes is trickier. And getting from a German no to a German yes is very difficult as well.
The Americans are very interested in stories.
Uh-huh.
When I traveled, everybody was always asking, what are you doing? Where are you from? Yeah. Let me guess. What's the story? Blah, yeah. What are you doing? Maybe it's not very deeply felt, mm-hmm. but there's a curiousness.
Yeah, that's true. And I could see the difference in Americans and Germans being the German audiences I've experienced are like really heartfelt when you make them feel something.
Mm-hmm.
Like they'll appreciate a story. They're not going to give you any like visual feedback when you look at an audience. You know, it's really hard to tell if they're enjoying it.
The Germans?
Yes.
Yeah.
But then after when you talk to them, it's like, oh, I was almost crying at this one part when you were singing because it was so emotional and heartfelt. And
you say, like, I couldn't tell.
I couldn't tell, but that's so nice. No, I really think there's like a sincerity to the German audience.
But then again, this American interest in other people sometimes leads to very personal stories being told on stage.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
As in Germany, everything has to be like grand, like Wagner.
Yeah.
It has to be political, everything. I always wonder like how this translates into our art mm-hmm. or our inability to make showbiz.
Yeah.
Create, are we ironic? Are the Germans ironic? Sarai.
That's not a word I would use for you guys. Severe, direct. Straightforward. The humor with Germans is in the fact that there's no fucking humor. You know? <It's
laughs> Don't make me cry.
You know, the humor is like, these are the rules and we must follow them into absurdity. You know? That is hilarious to me.
You are a Wagner singer also.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And also Wagner's very German.
Very German, yes. It's been a problem.
Why?
I did a master class with a pretty big singer at a pretty big location. And they said, are you going to sing Die Treue Halle for us? And I was like, oh, no, I think I'm going to sing Einsamen Trüben Tagen, Elsa. I really think you should sing Die Treue Halle instead. And I was like, no, but thank you. And so I sang Elsa. I sing it fine. And then the next 10 minutes of the conversation were how I can present myself in a way that's more aligned with Elsa if I insist on singing it. You know, she is the quintessential German pure Mädchen, you know?
Yes.
And so it was like, oh, your voice is too dark. You really have to like have this innocence about you and, you know, the look. And so that was the masterclass for me, you know? And then they also had me sing Die Treue Halle, and it was like, oh yeah, that was way better, you know. They were both sung approximately equally the same, you know. But it was like, Elizabeth is acceptable for me because she's not really a love interest. she's, you know, not the quintessential German woman. And then Elsa was like, there's a visceral reaction from a lot of people to seeing a black soprano sing Elsa.
Yeah, I mean, this subject of like, Germans have this, I mean, we have this history, the history we have.
Yes.
And this, that you as a black woman singer come across this situation where all the German repertoire is full of those like, blonde girls.
Yeah.
Like Gretchen and Faust. Mm-hmm. All the Wagner.
Agatha
in Freischütz. Like, it's like a German. And I think something like this doesn't even exist in American.
No.
A role model like this doesn't, like the pure girl.
Yeah. Exactly.
Because in American theater is always, she's a pure girl, but as we said before, is
wink.
She?
Wink. Yeah.
But what do you like about Wagner then? to say something positive about
to
the Germans.
To say something positive.
I personally hate Wagner.
Okay, good.
I think
to know.
With as much heart as you hate Mozart.
Yeah.
I cannot.
We can't be friends anymore. Get out. No, I love Wagner's music. It's so funny. I really like emotionally identify with mm-hmm. it and really love the stories. I'm a big fairy tale kind of person. So there was something I did like at Bayreuth, which is their Lohengrin, and they did, they were all fireflies, and it really played into the like whimsy and the fairy tale aspect of these stories. And I mean, how can you not like it? Like the music is, it's like literally perfect.
I know. I think for me, it's like the, it's so long.
It is. Yeah.
And in between, it's really boring.
Okay.
But I can see the point, you know, we have this like famous director, Frank Castorf,
mm-hmm.
who did his productions at Volksbühne. They were 8 hours long.
Yeah.
You suffer through 2 hours, then there were like 20 minutes were like genius as you've mm-hmm. never seen them before. Then you suffered through another hour. This is a little bit like Wagner to me.
Okay, I can see that. There's a lot of repetition for sure.
Yeah. And then it's always this, maybe it's the Germanness also, mm-hmm. where I always think it's Nazi. It's not, it's just Nazi.
Yeah.
It's just Nazi.
I mean, technically before Nazi.
Yeah, technically. But like, it feels so like foreshadowing everything that, I think if you hear Wagner, I can hear Adolf Hitler.
Yeah. My mother-in-law, whenever I'm doing something Wagner, she's like, oh, she's doing her Nazi thing.
That's so German.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, Sarayzov doing her Nazi stuff.
Again, very German of her to say.
Yes.
An American would never say that.
Literally never.
But to prove your point, you find it funny.
I do.
It's like maybe it's the German. It's the German funny.
I mean.
You find it. Yeah.
You know.
Look at you.
Yeah, and that's the thing. So if you want to, and this is what I say to anyone who will have me in a room, if you want to combat the negative stereotypes of Wagner or anything problematic, okay, Wagner was anti-Semitic, he was a womanizer, maybe bisexual.
Good for him.
Yeah, I agree. He got his opera house. Okay.
Wink.
One way or another. Be inclusive. You know, you can't. I mean, there are all sorts of rumors, like there's a portrait of Hitler hanging at Bayreuth somewhere in a room
hidden.
Full of candles, you know. You want to dispel those rumors? Past non-white people, you know, you could make it a point to be inclusive, to cast diverse singers.
And I mean, also with Wagner, it's always that it's so long.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's always this trick that you have this like orgasmic ending.
Yes.
It's always the same. It's a good trick, but a good one.
Yeah.
And you can hear the sweat. With it Mozart, it feels like it just flew out of his... I love his ass. But why do you hate Mozart?
It's just... There's no feeling to me in Mozart. It's all like tongue-in-cheek and ironic and sarcastic. Whereas I feel like Wagner, the music is like really heartfelt. It's really like from...
Deep.
Yeah, it's from an emotional place. It's not this like, oh, isn't this fun?
Yeah, I mean, Mozart is very classicistic in like it's 4x4x4x4, 16, and then we start again. And da, da, da,
yeah,
da, 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 da.
Exactly. Hate it. Look.
Maybe you are the German.
Could be. If someone wants to hire me to sing Donna Elvira, fine. I'll do it. And I'll do it well, but I will not enjoy it.
I love so much when you sing spirituals.
Uh-huh.
And your love for Wagner.
It's the same deep emotional place. Yeah. Yeah.
Because it's very like coming from the...
the ground up. Inside out.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. And this is... So I did the Wesendonck-Lieder paired with poems from women of color. And this was kind of the point. It's like... It's subjects... So if you break down most operas, it's relationships and it's subjects that people still deal with. So it's very contemporary, in my opinion. And so that was the point. It's like, if you take away the context of Nazism, of lacking diversity, and you just look at the emotions and the relationships, it's very relatable. And this is what I've said to conductors who have said, I'd love to cast you as Madame Butterfly, but you're black, you know? Well, if you take away the race of the piece and you focus on the emotions and the relationships, you can cast anyone you want.
The love you had as a child for opera, mm-hmm. does it still exist?
It does.
Does it keep on... Is the love still burning?
The love is still burning. I really think it's the only way for me to continue doing it. I really do love it. I do have something to say. And I think if that ever stops, I'll do something else, you know?
Yeah, but before that happens, what comes next?
In June, I have a concert with Theater Itzehoe.
Mm-hmm.
It's a concert of Porgy and Bess, where I'll sing Bess.
Yeah.
And
the Germans love that Porgy and Bess.
Yes, yeah.
As a German, as a black singer, you would...
Yeah.
It's your daily bread.
Yep.
Yeah.
We have another
Summertime.
Name for it, but yeah.
What's the name? Say it.
Some people call it the older black folks might be mad at me if I say it. I'll tell you off mic.
Germany has a long history of Porgy and Bess touring productions.
Yeah, yeah.
That
they
probably
pay the
half...
singers like shit.
Okay.
Yeah.
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 So you're doing that?
So I'm doing that, but it's a concert.
Amazing.
But it's not a tour.
Yeah.
It's a concert with a theater, with the orchestra and choir. So it'll be great. I am excited for that. And then in the summer, I'll do the American Wagner Festival. And I'll sing Act 1 of Die Walküre, Sieglinde, and Act 3.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was... offered a cover of Isolde with Tundi Productions in Vermont, but the Wagner Festival and their schedule overlap, so can't do that one, but then it's my birthday party.
That's a big plan.
Yeah. So that's my next like 6 months.
Yeah.